the book of Luke, please. Luke chapter number 1. I'd like to look tonight at what is referred to as the benediction or the blessing. It's referred to as the Benedictus. There are basically three songs that are, and when we say songs, they're songs of praise, much like the song of Moses, much like the song of the children of Israel, the song of Marian. They were songs of praises, just when somebody was testifying, you might say, or lifting up their voices. One was by Mary at the Annunciation. It's called the Magnificat. There is another that is, of course, by Zacharias, and it's called the Benediction or the Benedictus, I think, in possibly in Latin. And I want to put in, we studied up, actually we didn't set out to do it, but we've studied all but the first four verses of the book of Luke thus far on Sunday, both services. But I want to pick up tonight in verse number 56. Now you'll remember that Mary has been told by Gabriel that she will conceive, even though she's a virgin, she will conceive and bear the Christ. And the Bible said that she left where she was and she went to her cousin Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth was married to a preacher. The tribe of the Levites, both Elizabeth and her husband, Zacharias, were Levites, the tribe of the Levites. And we commented that if somebody had something to hide or had some sort of guilt, it would be like a bank robber heading toward the jail and taking refuge in the lobby of the jail. That's just usually not the way they do that. Or going to the sheriff's house. That's just usually not the way it's done. I personally believe that she knew that Zacharias knew God. And even though much of Israel, it's just a form by this time, and to much of Israel, it's just a, much of the priest, it's just a routine. They were born into it. They couldn't get out of it. They couldn't get another job doing anything else. This is what they did, and it was so much religion to them. They could care less. But not so with Zacharias. He and Elizabeth both believed, and they were believing. They were just as much believing as you and I are believers today. They were believers. You say, well, they didn't understand all about the cross and everything else. No, but they were believers nevertheless. And that's all you've ever had in the Bible, believers and unbelievers. And can I tell you, we talk about left and right and alt-left and alt-right, and we talk about moderates and conservatives and liberals. Can I tell you, it boils down to two things, good and evil, believers and unbelievers. That's it. And there may be variations and shades and on those, but that's bottom line what we're facing in this country. And you might as well just go ahead and just resign yourself. The unbelievers will not give up. It'll never happen. They'll not give up. The only way there would ever be calm and silence and peace is if the believers give up and shut up. That's the only way. If we'll concede, they're fine. But unless we concede, it's never going to happen. I had somebody say to me today, I thought once the election was over, we'd get some peace and quiet on the television. I believe it's worse than it's ever been. I would have to say that I think I agree with it. It's worse than it's ever been. You know what, though? The more they rave, they're starting to pull me. They're starting to change my opinion. Preacher, that crowd swaying your opinion? Yeah. I wasn't never a Trump supporter, but I'm beginning to be. The more people line up against him, think about it. Think about who a man's enemies are. The more people against him, maybe I missed something. You know, maybe, that they may be more to this than I thought. I may be, you know, because I tell you one thing, I ain't got nothing in common with that crowd. And the more they rant and the more they rave, the better I'm liking it. So that's how you have to approach it in these days. And Time magazine nominated Trump as the man of the year and called him a huckster. Wasn't it a huckster? And said that Clinton was an American Moses and that the man of the year was a huckster. But remember who said it? Time Magazine. He ought to get him a copy of that and frame it, because that is like a badge of honor, you know. When they're against you, you must be doing something right. Happy day. And you say, well, preacher, that's just politics, so you shouldn't be talking about that. No, I'm trying to make a point. It was like that then, in this hour, and it's like that now. To different degrees, but it's always been two things. Those that believe and those that don't. And there are going to be some that will believe. But my friend, there are some that they are hell-bent on being hell-bound. And I don't know a thing you can do about it. It don't mean they're predestined. It just means that they are not going to hear what you have to say. And then they're always aware of what I have to say. You understand what I'm saying? Israel was this way. Israel's in this kind of shape. I'm glad Zechariah did not know when he pronounced the blessing, the benediction, I'm glad he didn't know what was ahead. I'm glad he did not know how badly that the priesthood, that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and all the rest would treat the Savior of the world. I'm glad he did not know. Look what the Bible says in Luke 1:56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Let's bow our heads and hearts together. Father, help us, I pray, to be found faithful to your word. Expound it in our hearing tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. You know, there's really nothing other than this verse in the Bible, other than Mary was with her 3 months. Mary was with Elizabeth 3 months. 3 months, Elizabeth and Zacharias are in the presence of Christ. You say, but wait a minute, he wasn't born until chapter 2. Didn't stop John from having a Holy Ghost fit. And he's only been conceived 6 months. He still had a Holy Ghost fit. Can you imagine what it was like to be in the very presence of God for 3 months? And that's exactly what happened. And then the Bible said, and returned to her own house. Notice she didn't say anything about Joseph. It was her mom and daddy's place is where she went back to. She went back to her own house, what the scripture says. And so there is the obvious departure of Mary in this. But then there's also the delivery of Elizabeth. The Bible says in verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came, and she brought that she be delivered, and she brought forth a son. What did the angel say? Your wife's going to conceive in her old age. The Bible said, he's going to be a boy. And the Bible said, that the angel said, his name is going to be called John. So what I'm trying to tell you is the angel told it, and now it's being recorded exactly as the angel had said. And the Bible says, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her and how they rejoiced with her. And so it is a joyful time. Now, understand that they're just happy that an elderly lady has had a little boy. That's the part they're thrilled about. You understand what I'm saying? They're excited because this is inserted prior to what Zacharias has to say about everything. So they're just thrilled that he's a baby boy. And so there's a celebration that she had a baby and the two of them had a baby. Now, at this point, poor old Zechariah, he's still deaf and dumb. He's not been able to get in on anything because of his unbelief. God smote him and he's still there. Even though the baby is born, his mouth has still not been opened. So how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us when we get to verse 59. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, so for a week, they had had a party. For a week, they had celebrated. For a week, they were just glad that they had a baby. But they didn't realize what a baby they had. Why? Because the lips and the ears had been sealed of old Zacharias. So how do you know he was both deaf and dumb? Because they had to make signs to him here in just a moment, and he had to write on a tablet. I was thinking about that today. Reckon when he recognized the Lord's Christ, you don't have to hear anything to recognize the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be able to say anything to recognize the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? I bet you he was writing shorthand. Can you imagine all the inquiry he had on that tablet to Mary, and he'd hold it up? You know, can you imagine what it was like? Now tell me again what that angel said. Tell me again what, can you imagine passing the tablet back and forth and them erasing it and them, I mean, think about it. He couldn't say anything. He has spent 3 months he's actually spent longer than that. He spent 9 full months. But he spent the last 3 months in the presence of God Almighty. And he has had time to contemplate all the Old Testament scriptures, his entire life in ministry. He's had time since Christ has come upon the scene to be there. And this miraculous story of an angel appearing. Well, who better to believe you about a miraculous angel appearing to you? Who better audience to believe that than a man that's had an angel, the same angel that appeared to him? The angel appeared to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a miraculous birth in your old age, going to be a boy, and he's going to be God's bulldozer. And one day Mary knocks on the door, and she begins to write and say, I had an angel appear to me, and he said that my son is going to be a boy, and his name is going to be Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation, and his name is going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. You talk about a Bible study. You talk about a course in theology. Can you imagine what went on in that little house for 90 days? Oh my, wouldn't you love to have known? Wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall and got to listen or watch as they wrote back and forth on that tablet? Can you imagine? And so he's not got to say anything. And so when it came time to circumcise, that's when they'd name him. On the eighth day in the temple, they'd circumcise him. And they called him Zechariah after the name of his father, and that's what they decided. But his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by that name. John means God is gracious. God is gracious. They said, there ain't no John in your family. His name's going to be Zechariah, certainly. In doing some family history, I don't know if it was British. I don't know where it come from. But they would, in my family anyway, they did not go like Junior and the third and the fourth and the fifth. They didn't do that. But they would rotate. And so in my family, there were three names that were prominent. Thomas, David, and John. Because it was the name of the original three brothers that came here from England in the 1600s. Settled where Quantico base is at now, on the Quantico Creek in Virginia is where they first settled at. I got to studying my lineage, and I got to studying Thomas Barton. And I got to noticing that he was bearing children. He was 171. He's still having kids. And I got to thinking, you know, that might be more than one person. And when I got to looking, there had been Thomas who had a son, David, who had a son named Thomas, who had a son named David, who had a son named Thomas. It was over that kind of course. And then they'd occasionally throw in a John. So they would oftentimes name their children Thomas, David, and John. And so that, but they would usually rotate. But my family line came down to that. So there's a whole list of those. But in other words, family names were the custom. Family names were common. And so there was meaning to the names. In some families, especially in royalty, it's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and the eighth, and the tenth, and the 15th, and they just keep going, you know, with the numbers and all those things. Well, they expected him to be Junior. They were going to call him J.R. He was going to be Junior, and it's going to be Zacharias Junior. And Elizabeth spoke up and said, that's not going to be the case at all. There's already been a name determined. The Bible says in verse 62, and they made signs to his father. Right there is my key where I say he was deaf. It'd be one thing if he was just writing on a tablet. That means he can't talk. But the fact that they had to make signs to him tells me he was smitten with deaf and dumb. Why else would they have wrote on a tablet? He could have heard everything he said. What's his name? He could have wrote John. Bible says that wasn't what happened. Bible says they wrote it on a tablet. They made signs to him. Or they made expressions to him. What would he have him called? Verse 63, and he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, look at this, his name is John. Now he had a whole lot more he's wanting to say. But he said his name is John. God is gracious. And they all marveled at that. Friend, they fasten your seatbelt. If their ears burn at that, wait till they hear what he's fixing to say. Praise God. I mean, this old priest, he said his name is John, and they marveled all. So for 9 months and 8 days, he ain't been able to say a word. But he did what the angel said, called his name John. And the Bible says, and his mouth was opened. And I don't believe I believe it was opened immediately. And the Bible says his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God. How'd you like to have been there and heard the introduction words, the opening words of Zechariah after 9 months and 8 days of silence? How'd you like to have been there? And the Bible says he spake and he praised God. And so the priest, Zechariah, said, his name is John. And the people were amazed. And fear came on all them that dwelt round about them. Can you imagine? Fear came upon them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. I bet. And the Bible says, and all they that heard them, look what the scripture says, laid them up in their hearts. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. It's one thing to make a mental note of it, to write it on a pad or make a note on your iPhone about something. But my friend, when the Holy Ghost lays it up in your heart, that's just a real good sign. Took note of it. God made a note, laid them up in their hearts. You see, it may be that this is some of the same folks that heard these things or some of the people that are going to be later that are going to be baptized by this same baby 30 years later. North of that where they were, he was baptizing up at Enon, just north of where the River Jordan flows into the Dead Sea. That's where he was baptizing. And John was baptizing the baptism of repentance. Of course, people came to him. But they laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? Oh, you haven't seen anything like it. What manner of child shall it be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Can I say this? Not only is it amazing that this old couple has had a baby. That's amazing. But that an angel has appeared to Zacharias and named him, told him his gender, told him what he was going to do, all of these things. But let me tell you what else is amazing. How'd you like to have been to church all your life and never heard from God? And you go home and ask your mom and daddy, Mama, you remember back when you was young and you remember when you heard from God? And she'd say, no. No, son, I don't remember. I tell you what, go ask your grandma. She'll remember. And you go to grandma's house and say, Grandma, remember when God came in church? Remember when God came? You remember when you had a word from God? You remember that? And she'll say, No, son, I don't. Well, Grandma, do you remember great-grandma talking about it? No, I don't remember her mentioning it. Grandma, you don't never remember her talking about her grandma? Shouting to the bobby pins came out of her hair? You don't ever remember that? No. You never heard her talk about a great revival and a great move of God? No, I don't remember it. Why, preacher? 400 years and God's silent. God penned the book of Malachi and closed the holy writ of Scripture. And there's not been a sign. There's not been a sound. There's not been a thing. And you know what's amazing? In that period of silence, there's not even any extra biblical records of anything happening. Typically, history will record some sort of garbage, whether it's real or not. There's records that when in the years of Christ's silence as a boy, there's records of him forming, it's a secular record of him forming a little clay bird in his hand as a little boy. He got some clay and he made a little bird and he breathed on it and it flew out of his hands. That's secular history. It's tradition. It's not true. You understand what I'm saying? Here's what's amazing. There weren't even no exaggerations recorded. There's not even anybody that even dreamt of anything that God did. They went through the ritual and the rudiments of Judaism. No wonder it had become a dead and a dry religion. You think about it. I hate to say this because it's supposed to be by faith. And we're supposed to go operate on faith. But I'm going to tell you something. I got to feel something occasionally. Man, you talk about a drought. Man, I start getting in a drought. It starts worrying me. I mean, it don't have to be in the pulpit. It can be driving down the road and the song on the radio. It can be in when I'm reading the scripture. It can be when I'm praying. But I just got to have a little something occasionally. I just got to have a little nudge. So, preacher, you ought not be like that. I know, but I'm addicted. What can I say? If you've ever been in the Holy of Holies, if you've ever had a taste of that heavenly world, my friend, there ain't nothing else to do. All RC colas and moon pies on this planet won't satisfy that. Hallelujah. You hear what I'm telling you? If you've ever tasted of the heavenly gift, if you've ever, and I'm not talking about something Pentecostal, and I'm not talking about something, ain't what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about if you've ever got where God's at. Somebody said, I have been in the fire, therefore cannot stand the smoke. I understand that. Understand that. What about never having been in nothing? You just do what you do because that's what you were raised and that's what you were told, and you just do it because that's what you were told that you're supposed to do in order to please this mysterious God out there somewhere in heaven. Wow. It's huge, isn't it? That we, as the New Testament believers, that we have access to the very throne of heaven several times a day if we desire. And while God don't show up every time, boy, I'm glad he shows up sometimes. I had one fella told me, he said, you know what? He said, I'm scared to miss church. And I said, why is that? He said, because sure as I'm out, that'll be the service God comes. And he said, I can't stand for somebody to tell me how good it was and I wasn't there. He said, I can't stand it. He said, call me jealous. He said, but I'm telling you, somebody called me on the phone after service and tell me God came and how good it was and I had to work or I couldn't be there. He said, it don't make me bust. He said, I get about half mad. He said, I am jealous that I didn't, what is wrong with me? Why was I not there? He said, I'm afraid not to be there. Hallelujah. There was an old fellow who was deaf and he was in church every time the doors would open. And I'm talking about every time the doors open. And the preacher didn't know sign language, and nobody in the church did, and nobody could interpret, and the old fella had gotten deaf through some reason. Anyway, he hadn't never learned to read lips. And so really there wasn't a lot of communicating going on. The preacher would get up and preach, the old man would sit there, watch him. He'd just watch him and get up and go to the house, put his hat on, go to the house. But he's there every time the door opened. And one Sunday they were having a missionary and he was with a deaf ministry. And as a part of his presentation, he got up and his wife sang and he got over here and signed it. Well, come to find out the fellow had learned sign language. And so he could communicate through sign language. And so the preacher got to thinking, man, he's connected with him. He said, I've got a question I want to ask. The end of the service, that fellow started getting his hat, started to walk out. So he grabbed that missionary and ran it back there to the door. He said, ask him something. He said, I what? He said, ask him why he's come to this church all these services for all these years and he ain't never heard a word I said. And yet he's the most faithful man we got. And so the missionary signed it and asked him. And the old fellow replied just very quickly, put his hat on. He said, what did he say? The missionary said, he just wants the devil to know whose side he's on. Hey, if you feel about half backslid at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, get in the car and go to McDonald's unto God, and sit in the parking lot and eat it, all right? So your neighbors will see the car go out and wait till about church is over and go back to the house and at least make them see a little activity around your place. Hypocrite a little bit. It ought to be that when your car is home but at 6:15 on Sunday night that the neighbors call and say, are you sick? It ought to be that when your lights is on your house on Wednesday night between 7 and 8:30 that the neighbors call and say, just call and make sure this don't happen, broke in. What's wrong? What's the matter? That's where it ought to be. Somebody told me, said one, said, well, we couldn't come to church. We had company come. All my family knows I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They know not to come. And Christmas morning, you know where I'm going to be? Right here. You know where I'm going to be Christmas night? Right here. Yeah, but preacher, if it falls on Christmas Eve, no, it'll be right here, Christmas Eve. If Wednesday night falls on Christmas Eve, I'll be right here. That's where I'm going to be. Because, hey, I got a whole lot more in common with this family than do my own blood kin. Of course, I guess we are blood kin, aren't we? The family of God. I guess we are blood kin. I guess that's why we're kin, huh? When it all boils down. And so they laid up on their hearts saying, what manner of child shall this be that the hand of the Lord was with him? And now Zacharias gets his turn. And the Bible says he starts talking about the Savior. What a more appropriate thing to talk about. And so he says a word about the Lord Jesus. And his father Zacharias, this is John's father Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. He hadn't been in the presence of Jesus 3 months. That'll get you full, amen. I mean, he'd had God in his, for three, hey, That vision in the tabernacle come and gone. That vision in the temple come and gone. But how would you like to have God come home with you for 3 months? I've always thought about how good it was for Mary to have somewhere to go. Bible don't say Mary got any help from going down there. Praise God, the ones that she visited is the one who got the help. Hallelujah. I mean, they're the ones that got help. You ever done that? I've gone to the hospital. I've gone to the rest home, tried to cheer somebody up. They maybe go in, you know, try to encourage them a little bit. And praise God, I leave there just about absolutely in a running fit. I went to try to be of help. Praise God, they charged my batteries. I mean, rev me up. Now, I have had the opposite happen. I went in the rest home, and as a lady in the community, and I went in the rest home to see her. And I don't know how long it'd been. I don't know. It possibly have even been a couple of years. It didn't seem like it'd been that long, but I'd visited her in her home, and she was in a restaurant. I heard she was in a restaurant, so I went to see her. And I went in, and I said to her, I said, "How you doing?" She said, "Fine." She didn't act like she knew me. And she looked at me, and she said, "Who are you?" And I thought, oh, no, she's got dementia. I hate that. That's so hard. I hate it when that stuff like that happens, you know. And I knew she's a regular listener. And I said, "I'm Randy Barton." She said, "You ain't done it." And I thought, well, she's really got it bad. She's in the advanced stages. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm Randy Barton." She said, "Lord, son, you've got fat." I prayed and left. I just be honest with you. I left there, my shoes, I mean, my coattail dragging my tracks out. I'm going to tell you. She let the air out of my sails. I mean, you know, but I guess the truth hurts at times, you know. But boy, those times you get pumped up. Hey, listen, the home of Zacharias, they had gotten pumped up. And so there was a word about the Spirit from the Spirit of God about the Lord's Christ. There was a word from the Son of God. He was Emmanuel. Look what the Bible says. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Now listen to what I'm going to say. He's not even born yet. But Zechariah states it as if it's already happened in the past. Listen to me. We celebrate the 25th of December as the day Christ was born. But the truth of the matter is, God left heaven and came down to earth 9 months before that. He was here for 9 months. Been ministering before he was ever born, ministered to John the Baptist, ministered to Elizabeth and Zechariah. Sure he did. Wasted no time whatsoever. And said, "Hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." He knew very well that he not only came to redeem and as a redeeming Messiah, but Zacharias got a hold of something big right here. My friend, he wasn't just a redeeming Messiah. He was a royal Messiah. What does that mean, preacher? Well, number one, he was not born a Levite. John the Baptist was a Levite. He's a Levite, born a Levite. He's a Levite. Now, he was born to be a priest. He ends up being a prophet. Zacharias was a priest. End up prophesying. End up being a prophet. But can I tell you, listen to what I'm going to say. The Lord Jesus was not allowed in the temple, in the inner workings. Period. Why? Because he wasn't a Levite. If he wasn't a Levite, he could never go change the showbread. The Lord Jesus could never go light the lampstand. The Lord Jesus could never offer incense to himself on the altar of incense. Wasn't allowed. And he most certainly couldn't go behind the veil. You had to be a Levite to do that. And you had to be the high priest. And only then once a year. So what's significant about this line of David? Well, can I tell you, Zacharias knew very well Mary and her line and her mom and daddy's line, especially her daddy's line, because that's where it was tracked through, Heli. And understand what I'm saying. He knew that it was the house of Judah. And I believe all those Old Testament scriptures suddenly come flooding back. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And the house of his servant David. So he says a word about the Lord Jesus. And then he says a word about Judaism and Jewry as a whole. He said, and he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hates us. The Old Testament prophecies from Scripture. Can I tell you, look what he says. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he sware to our father Abraham. Do you realize that Abraham had to do nothing? Zero. God said, I'm going to call you out of the Ur of the Chaldees, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to do this and this and this. Abraham didn't have to agree to quit anything. He didn't have to agree to start anything. He didn't have to accept it. He didn't have to make it. Now, Abraham, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Abraham, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Abraham, if you'll do this, I'll do this. It was unconditional. God said, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. As somebody said, whether you like it or not, I'm going to do it. Whether you believe it or not, I'm going to do it. Can I tell you, Israel's in no shape to receive a Savior. It ain't because they've had national revival and everybody's praying for the Messiah to come. It's not that they're all. No. It's just the opposite, my friend. They've been lulled asleep by 400 years of ritual and silence. And Zacharias is excited that God has satisfied that Abrahamic covenant. Think about it. He's talking about that Davidic covenant. When he said he's of that line, that royal line. But now he starts talking about that Abrahamic covenant. That all nations thou shalt that be blessed as a result. And he said that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. They're under the heavy hand of Rome. They're under the heel of Rome. The heel of Rome is on their neck, if you will. And you see, Zechariah is seeing it as if the two comings are one. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't see the valley in between. But can I assert to you one more time? There didn't have to be a valley of the Gentiles. There did not have to be. If you stand back and look at the parkway, if you stand back here and look at it, it looks like that you're it's a single mountain and you go up it, and you'll get to the top. If you're down here on 64 looking up at it, it looks like there's one mountain. What you don't realize is there's a range of mountains. You got to cross one and then go down the thing and then come up on another one. There's a valley in between. Isn't that where the cradle of forestry sits? That whole valley of the pink beds, that whole thing. You've crossed one mountain range, but when you do, now that's the Mills River Valley in behind it. You can't see that. You can't see that from looking at it. You have to get up over top of it from an airplane, look down on it to realize there's two distinct mountain ranges. One's higher than the other, and when you stand back and look at it, it looks like they all run together. And so it did from the Old Testament prophet state. They couldn't see the church age, but can I say to you that the Lord allowed it to be that way? That in the event Israel would have accepted the Lord's Christ, they'd have went right straight into the millennial reign. Up from the grave and right straight to the throne. I believe that. Sure as I'm standing here, I believe that. But I'm glad for the grace of God. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to merit it. We didn't do anything. Hey, we're a bunch of heathen, wicked Gentiles. You say, but oh, I come from high breeding and from Europe. Let me tell you what our ancestors did. Son, our ancestors were barbarians. I'm talking about our ancestors were wicked. I mean, you study some of the things that the Anglo-Saxons did. You study the quote-unquote white race of Europe. You understand with me, before the Age of Enlightenment, my friend, it was one of the most dangerous places on the planet. And it was one of the most superstitious places on the planet. And one of the most heathenistic places on the planet. And there was a good reason nobody had ventured into that area. Because they were afraid to. Can I say to you, but the God of heaven looked down and said, not because you deserve it, not because that you merited it, not because of your bloodline, not because you good folk, but tell you what I'm going to do. Just like calling Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, I'm going to call a church out of every nation and kindred and tongue. Out of the heathen of the world, I'm going to redeem me a crew. From the heathen, I'm going to create, hallelujah, from the heathens, our races, I'm going to create a heavenly race of people. The heathens have spurned him. The Hebrews have spurned him. I'm going to create a heavenly race. And I'm going to raise up a group that'll serve me. And it'll love me. And it'll trust me. And the Bible says in holiness and righteousness before him in all the days of our lives. Holiness has to do with our right relationship with God. Righteousness had to do with our right relationship with man. Just as there's an upright on the cross, there's also a horizontal on the cross, the vertical and the horizontal. Can I tell you that unless you have the right relationship with your brother, you'll not have the right relationship with God. They go hand in hand, and the Bible's not just repeating itself. Holiness is Godward, righteousness is manward, and they go hand in hand. And the Bible says in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's that separation and sanctification. And hallelujah. Listen to what I'm trying to say. Zacharias saw a believing nation receiving a Messiah. You know what he saw? He was seeing the millennial reign. And he was seeing a sanctified people called out and separated unto God. And he was thrilled about it. And now he gets down to John. And he says, and thou child. He's right there. He's just been circumcised. And thou, child, I shall be called the prophet of the highest. And look at his commission. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. What needed preparing, preacher? Well, he had to prepare the way from all the things that Israel had gotten into and where they had grown and how far they'd come. When the Old Testament closes, we don't even know what a Pharisee is. 400 years later, it's Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees are the conservatives and dead as a doornail. The Sadducees are the liberals and dead as a doornail. Dead and dead. I mean, they're both dead. And the Herodians were the politicians in the middle. And the scribes sided with the Pharisees. And on you go. And we don't know anything about that in the Old Testament. When the Old Testament closes, it's the Medes and the Persians are the ruling power. The Medes and the Persians, they're long gone. The Greeks have come and gone. And now Rome's in power. A great deal has changed between the end of Matthew and the beginning of the book of Luke and the beginning of the book of Matthew. A great deal has transpired and a great deal has changed. And so they have to be delivered from the formalism of the Pharisees. They need had to be delivered from the skepticism of the Sadducees, from the traditionalism of the rabbis, from the compromise of the Herodians. They'll do anything to gain political gain and power. And the radicalism of the Zealots. There was a crowd who were trying to fight the Romans and trying to take Israel back somehow in their own strength. And they were just causing the iron grip of Rome to tighten around the Jews. And there had to be somebody to prepare the way, stand in the gap, and make up the hedge. And the Bible said that he would be that helper to the Messiah. He would be that, he would not only be the herald, but he'd be the helper. The Bible says to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high, look at this, hath visited us as if he's already come and gone. He is not even born yet. But as far as Zacharias was concerned, they were ready to step into the millennial reign, praise God, because God is here. I mean, God's on the scene. You hear what I'm telling you? Don't be too hard on old Zachariah. I've been in a couple of meetings before. I've been in a couple of situations. Somebody said, "Preacher, you just lost touch with reality." Isn't that wonderful? Because reality is pretty stinking bad. Isn't it reality? Isn't it wonderful? When you get where God's at and it gets so good, you just almost forget about how bad it is outside the walls. And bad. You get where God's at and it's just so good. And praise God. I mean, and you get to thinking, is this it? Is this the rapture? Are we going to get called up? Where are we at? What's going on? What is this? What's fixing to happen? Maybe that's where Zechariah was. He done spent 3 months with the Savior of the world, my friend, and he is excited to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the Bible says in John, and the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. 30 years he had a solitary time of training and preparation in the wilderness. And his message, one word, repent. That's all he had, one word. Little is known about the childhood. Matter of fact, that's all we get right there. He waxed strong, the child grew, waxed strong in the spirit in the deserts. That's the all we know. In the Lord Jesus, we saw him at 12 just for a cameo appearance, briefly in the temple. Mom and dad, just one quick second. 12 years old, we see the Lord Jesus in the temple. That's it. Both of these children grew in silence, except for that one cameo appearance by Christ. We know little or nothing about them. Think about it. It took 3.5 days to go between their houses. John lived down in Hebron, in the hill country of Judea. The Lord Jesus was raised in Nazareth, all the way up at Galilee. 3.5 days journey. I doubt that they spent a lot of time together as children. However, it doesn't mean that they never met. It's possible that they met when they went to Jerusalem during the feast. It's possible that they met then. You think about it. I mean, there's no record of them ever meeting. They could have. Whether they did or not, there's no record. I wonder what it would have been like for the Savior of the world, for John the Baptist to meet the man he was going to represent and be this, the Savior of the world. He was going to represent him. I wonder what it was like. I wonder what he knew. I wonder how much John knew. I wonder. Of course, we've got the scripture about the Lord Jesus. But I leave you this question. Do you reckon Zacharias and Elizabeth ever told John who Jesus was? I mean, he knew he was his cousin by the flesh. They would have been, the two of them would have been third cousins, technically speaking, I guess. Maybe something like that, according to the flesh. Mary being related to Elizabeth. And if they were cousins, if they were first cousins, and then you'd have the breakdown of that. But do you reckon there was ever any? Do you reckon that Zacharias and Elizabeth ever told John? Do you reckon they ever played together? Do you reckon they ever? There's no record of it. And sometimes the silence of Scripture says more than what would be written down. But I can tell you this. One day the Savior came walking by at the bank of Jordan. And John stopped everything. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And he said, "I must decrease, he must increase." Hallelujah. Happy day. I'm glad that God had a plan. And I'm glad all the wickedness of this world never interfered one drop with the big plan of God. And can I tell you this? Just as the deadness and the dumbness and the defilement of this world did not interfere with Christ coming the first time, it ain't going to hinder him coming again. Because see, half of what Zechariah said has not been realized yet. He grouped them together, the first coming and the second coming. Can I tell you, old Zechariah's words are yet to be fulfilled. But soon and very soon, hallelujah, Zechariah's words are going to come to pass because the Savior is going to come to this old world. And when he does, hallelujah, the scripture will be fulfilled. It may be this Christmas.